At the start of a new year, we want to put before each of you the practice of reading the Bible. We want to encourage you all to build a habit, to craft a rhythm, a daily rhythm of listening out for the voice of God through His Word. We believe, as the writer of Hebrews would say, that the Scriptures are alive and they are active. We believe that we get to meet with God as we open up the Bible. And so we want to introduce to you an ancient and an unhurried way of reading the Bible that opens us up to the life and the activity of God in the thick of our busy lives. This is a way of reading the Bible that tethers together both Word and Spirit. It's a way of reading the Bible that invites us to actually anticipate that God is going to speak to us, that He would personally address each of us and shape us into looking more like His Son in the moment of reading. And here's the thing, as we've worked through this over the past couple of weeks, we're not just going to talk about this practice, but we want to equip you. We want to give you all that you need to grow into this practice. And so tribes, as they gather back together this week, you are going to take some time in community to learn or to relearn this practice together, because truthfully, the best way to engage in the spiritual practices is in community. We've also created this practice guide that will give you all that you need to have a go at this yourselves. You can pick up one of these at the back door, or if you're leaving through Hearth, there's also an online copy which you can access at lagonvalleyvineyard.com/rhythms. In this practice guide, it also has a daily reading plan for the whole of 2025. So it's our gift to you, so please do grab one on your way out. But rather than just talking about reading the Bible and talking about this practice together, I thought that we should just have a go at doing it together. So can I invite you to open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3? There should be some extra physical book Bibles on your seats. Now, if you don't have a book Bible with you, I know some of you are crazy popular, so if you will get distracted on your phone, the scripture is on the screen, just in case you get lots of notifications over the next couple of minutes. But I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 10. And once you get there, can I invite you to close your eyes? And can I invite you to shuffle into your seat and take a couple of breaths so that you're here and nowhere else? And let me take a moment just to pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me read Philippians 3, beginning at verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. We're going to read this a couple more times, but rather than rush ahead, let me just take a moment to allow these words to sink in. Now, can I invite us to read these words out loud together? So let's go for it. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 10. Let's read the word together. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to read the text one more time. And I'm going to invite you just to read it sort of within yourself, to read it slowly and quietly. And as you read the text this time, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to notice if there is a word or a phrase or a particular line that just sort of jumps out at you. If there's a word or phrase or a line that just stands out, would you just pay attention and just notice it? Don't worry, begin to wonder, why does that jump out at me? Just notice it for now. So why don't you go ahead, take a few moments, and slowly read through these five verses, and then I'll call us back in a few minutes' time. All right, hopefully you've had the chance to be able to share what the word or the phrase or the line is. Now, let's workshop this together. I'd love just to hear from just a couple of you. What word or verse or line stood out to you from the text? A couple of people shout out what it was for them. Whoa, two things happen at the same time there. Power of the resurrection. Participation in sufferings, thank you. Couple more. Whoa, yous are so eager. I was not expecting that. Who was over here? Thank you, Regina. Somebody was over here? Straining towards what is ahead. Right, you guys have been very quiet. Right, one from over here. Take hold. Brilliant. Thank you for that. Now, I want you just to notice, we've all read the same text a couple of times, but each of us have been drawn to certain aspects of it. There's been certain words or phrases, straining towards what is ahead, participation in his sufferings, power of the resurrection. I've got good recall. I'm just showing off right now. But I just want you to see that we've all kind of grabbed a hold of certain things. Now, can you do me a favor again? Whatever that word or phrase or line was, participation in the sufferings, take hold, strain what is ahead. Can I get you just to hold it in your head and in your heart for just a few minutes' time? Because I just want to kind of walk us through why we're doing this. At the start of a new year, we want to remind you, ultimately, that following Jesus, it looks like imitating his lifestyle, doing exactly the same things that he did, so that his rhythms become our rhythms, his habits become our habits. And whenever you look at the life of Jesus, it is so clear that day and night he was meditating on the scriptures. It was like daily bread for him. And so we're invited to put to work the devotion of Jesus, to live like him. As human beings, we are shaped by what we do most often. Our daily rhythms, they form who we are becoming. Or as Annie Dillard would say, and you've heard us say this so many times because it is so important, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. And we often struggle whenever it comes to building a rhythm of Bible reading. And so last week, we spent some time just exploring how this practice, it ultimately creates the conditions for us to encounter our loving Lord face to face. Every time we open up the scriptures, we're drawn into both the company and the conversation of Christ. We are able to connect with him. Or as Dallas Willard used to say, scripture is a communication that leads to communion and opens us up all the way to union. But here's the thing. We're not just wanting you to see the Bible differently. We want to equip you with a different way of reading it. Rather than just reading it in a way that's sort of standoffish, where we skim read it on the go for a quick spiritual hit, we want to invite you into a way of reading the Bible that is much more slow. It's relational. It's intimate. It's a way of reading the Bible where we actually anticipate that God wants to speak to us personally. A way of reading that is much more conversational with its back and with its forth. And so we want to walk you through a way of reading the Bible that really focuses on two things, relationship and response. And this way of approaching the text was quite ancient, and it's based upon a practice that is known as Lectio Divina, or divine reading. And Lectio assumes that God wants to invite us into a conversation. every time we read the scriptures, we're invited into a chat with him. This practice, it invites us to listen for the now word of God that is spoken to us through his ancient text in the present moment. It's a way of reading the Bible that sort of protects us from depersonalizing the scriptures, just reducing it down to a bunch of questions and answers, definitions and dogmas. Through this practice, we get to receive revelation from God as we hear from him. And then we seek to become the kind of people that does what he says. Through this practice, we are invited into God's presence, and then we're empowered to put flesh on his word once again. I want us to learn to read the Bible like that. And for that to happen, we need to recognize that there's a really key dynamic in this way of reading the Bible, and it comes down to the tethering of both the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Let me explain. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says this to him: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He uses this line: all scripture is breathed out by God. Other translations would use a different word for breath. They would use the word inspired. All scripture is breathed out or inspired by God. Scripture, it begins with the Lord, and through his book, we get to hear his voice. Now, for many of us who've grown up in church, many of us who follow Jesus, we get this. But I want to suggest that perhaps we are only really seeing half of the story, because Christians typically believe that God inspired the writers of the biblical text. The Holy Spirit stirred within them a creative inspiration to write down the very words of God that would then be passed down to generations of saints that would follow. So take Paul's word to Timothy. This isn't just a normal letter between two friends. No, the Spirit he breathed upon Paul, he inspired the words that he was writing so that they are no longer just Paul's words to Timothy, but they are God's word to us, his church, for all time. This book is more than just the biblical writers jotting down some ancient records, because the Spirit, he was conspiring alongside them to craft the words that God wants us to hear and build our lives upon. Now, we get this. God inspired the writers of the Bible. And yet that is only half of the story, because the Word of God wasn't just alive and active at the time of writing. No, the Word of God is also alive and active today as we read it. Because the same Spirit who encountered the biblical writers, he is the one that actively addresses us as we read these ancient words today. The Holy Spirit hasn't gone anywhere. Not only did God inspire the writing of the Bible, he also inspires the reading of the Bible today. Now, I know that this is super, super obvious, but all words that are written down are dead words. There's no life in words on a page. They're just ink or their typeface on a screen. And yet for the Spirit of God, his work of inspiration, it is not over, because he breathes life into these words. He resurrects them. He brings them to life for us. Not only did the Spirit conspire with the writers of the scripture, he also conspires with us, so that through these words, as we read them, we get to receive God's very voice, God's life, God's breath once again. This practice, this way of reading the Bible, it opens us up to the inspiration of the Spirit today, so that whenever we read this book and we notice things that stand out to us, words, phrases, characters, themes, the power of the resurrection, participation in sufferings, whenever we notice these things, we believe that that is the work of the Spirit, breathing upon the text once again, seeing these words come alive so that they become livable for us. They stir something within us and they ultimately shape us. This practice that I'm about to walk us through, it invites us into a charismatic way of reading the Bible. We're Vineyard people. We're charismatics. We're Holy Spirit people. We are open to the power and to the presence of God. And yet in our heritage, especially the heritage of our movement, we have always sought to be a people of both the Spirit and the Word. That is who we are. We are open to meeting God in any moment, but we are especially open to meeting Him through His Word. We love ministry moments. We're going to create some space for you to encounter Jesus in a powerful way, I hope, in a few minutes' time. We love moments like that, and yet we mustn't just reduce our encountering of the Lord to just that moment or the moment we had a couple of moments ago whenever we were worshiping Him. We must build in this practice of reading the Scriptures, recognizing that opening up His Word, it opens us up to experiencing the Lord. We are Word and Spirit people. Sometimes I think we just need to emphasize the Word a little bit more. Whenever he was teaching his students how to read the Bible, John Wesley, he wanted them to be open to the presence of the Spirit. And so he said this to them, "Scripture can only be understood through the same Spirit where it was given." As we open up our Bibles, we are invited to open ourselves up with a sense of anticipation that the Spirit wants to speak directly to us. So that as we read, and as something kind of jumps off the page, sticks with us, we're invited to trust that that, what you've just experienced, that that is the Spirit of God, grabbing our attention, inviting us to listen in. That moment that you experience whenever those lines or phrases stood out, they're not just daydreaming. They're not just coincidence. No, the Spirit is wanting to speak to you through His Word. We trust that He is speaking. And so what I want to do just for a few moments before we pray is I want to walk us through this practice really quickly. It's a really simple way that helps us read the Bible, and you can apply it as you read the Bible every single day. And it's all about 4 hours, and don't worry, I'm not talking about like 4 hours in the time frame, all right? You're not going to be here to 4:30. But it's 4 words that begin with the letter R. Resting, reading, reflecting, and responding. You can use these 4 R's as you open up any short passage of Scripture. And while we work through this, particularly if you're new to reading the Bible, it might feel a little bit formulaic at first, but trust me, as you kind of repeat this over time, because there's no formation without repetition, as you engage in this over and over and over again, it will just become second nature to you. So let me explain the movements really, really briefly. Firstly, rest. Rather than just rushing, grabbing the text, trying to get what you need from it instantly, take a moment to center down, as our Quaker friends would say, to enjoy some unhindered time, a space where externally things are a little bit quieter, but also internally you're able to center down, you're able to find your scattered senses kind of centered on the presence of Jesus. Take a couple of moments to close your eyes, to breathe, to get comfortable, and also take a moment to pray. To pray so that you are beginning to anticipate that God is going to speak to you through His Word. Even just a simple prayer like, "Come Holy Spirit," you hear us pray it all the time. I pray that every day whenever I open up the Word, just like, "Come Holy Spirit, speak to me." You may have a different phrase that you want to use, but I'd really encourage you to take just a line and pray it before you open up the Scriptures. And then you read. And I want to encourage you to not just read the Scripture just once, quickly, but in fact, slow down your reading and read it a couple of times, just like we did a few moments ago. Read the text slowly, pause between your readings, and after a couple of readings, then begin to ask yourself the question, is there anything that's standing out to me here? And just pay attention to what that is. It might be a word, a phrase, a character, a line, whatever it might be, just begin to notice it. Then the third R, reflect. And this is the moment where we truly enter into conversation with God. The best conversations begin by asking good questions, right? And whenever it comes to the Scriptures, it is no different. And so whenever we come to the text, I want to invite you to ask God some questions around what you're reading. And the best question I think that we can bring to the text is simply this: God, what are you saying to me? And I want to invite you to actually ask Him prayerfully, within yourself or out loud, ask God, what are you saying to me through this? and then take some time to listen. And then beyond that, we respond. And through response, our questions kind of shift from, God, what are you saying to me, to Stu, what am I going to do about it? We believe that the scriptures are livable. Disciples are not only hearers of the word, they are doers of the word also. And so God empowers us to enact, to incarnate, to embody what it is that he is saying to us. And so whether we have received an invitation from God or a challenge from him, we are to respond faithfully to what we have heard. And I want to encourage us to do it as quickly as we possibly can. Again, John Wesley said this to his students, whatever light you then receive whenever you read the scriptures should be used to the uttermost, and that immediately. Let there be no delay. Whatever you resolve, begin to execute the first moment that you can. Whatever God speaks to you, put it to work as soon as you possibly can. And after your time of reading, as you seek to continue this practice, I'd really encourage you just to take a moment just to pray. And that's kind of it. It's a really simple way, four steps that allows us to engage in the Bible, where we're approaching the text with a slowed down pace and ultimately with two questions. God, what are you saying to me? And what am I going to do about it? Now, I've been a little bit sneaky, because we've already worked through the first two movements of this practice together as we read through Philippians chapter 3. We've circled around the first two movements of resting and reading. And so I want you to kind of unlock from your head and your heart the word, the line, the phrase that stood out to you from 10 minutes ago. Just unlock it and bring it to the forefront of your mind. And I want to practice this together. So again, why don't you close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Get comfortable in your seat. Take a couple of breaths. And I want you to actually, just within yourself, using the cadence of your inner voice, this intimate dialogue with Jesus, I want you to actually ask him, God, what are you saying to me? With whatever phrase, line, whatever that stood out to you, ask him, what are you saying to me? I'm going to allow my voice to fade out for a few moments, but it's my prayer that the voice of the Spirit would speak loudly to you. So come, Holy Spirit. And as you just stay in this place, some of you may be moving to the place of response. And so I want to encourage you to ask even yourself the question, hey, what am I going to do about this? If God is highlighting something to you, if you're hearing him, what does he want you to go and do? We're just going to wait here for just another moment or so. All right. That's the four movements. Well done for having a go. You can apply these four movements to any passage of scripture at any time. It's really quite simple, and you can do this every day. But I do want to create just a little bit more space for response to both the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. I want to create some space for us to respond to what he is saying to us right now. So, friends, if you're able, can I invite you to stand with me? What strikes me as I have sat with this text, it is Paul's defiance at the beginning of verse 10, where he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. For Paul, relationship with Jesus is everything, and he just wants more of God. And yet to lay hold of this kind of life, it requires something. And Paul says it himself. It requires a forgetting of what is behind and a pressing on to what is ahead, a laying down of the past and a commitment towards the future. And friends, here's the thing. I reckon that some of us have allowed our pasts to define us for way too long. For some of us, we are still holding on to the heartaches and the hardships of the past. We are still holding on to the things that we have got wrong, to the persistent, repeated patterns of living, the wrong thinking about ourselves or our lives, the past of being apathetic to the things of God and us being kind of half-hearted whenever it comes to living His way. Or we have just been so busy, we've been so distracted by life that we just haven't been able to give ourselves fully to Him. And I believe this morning the Spirit is prompting us to let go of a life that is in the past, of us disconnecting with God, and to press on towards a life of us deeply knowing Him. And so, if you want to join Paul in saying today, I want to know Christ, and you this morning want to leave some things behind so that you can press on towards the future, I want to invite you to respond today. And there's lots of space up at the front, and I want to invite you to physically respond by making your way up to the front, even right now, as a way of embodying this physically by like actually moving forward, forgetting the past, laying it down and pressing it on ahead. I want to invite you to come forward because I want you to respond, and also we want to pray for you today. And so if the Spirit has been highlighting this as we read through His Word, or even in this moment He is highlighting this to you, inviting you to leave it behind and press on ahead, why don't you begin to come up to the front?